But you got to get into Scripture, and you got to read, and God will reveal that to you when you get to that Scripture.
Right.
And you'll know as soon as you read it, that's where you need to be. And if you, let's go to Lord in prayer before I even get started this evening. Ask, continue the blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here tonight. Lord, as I stand up here behind this pulpit, Lord, I pray that I take one more step back. And Lord, you take lead tonight. Lord, I just pray, Father, that the sweet spirit that's here tonight, Lord, that it would continue. And Father, that you would lead us and guide us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray for any that's here tonight that's lost. Anyone that has afflictions going on in their lives. Surgeries, tests. Lord, I pray tonight for those. They need you more today than they ever have.
Yeah.
Father, I know that you can heal all things and you can do all things if it's according to your will. And Father, tonight I ask if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray tonight would be that night. And Father, that you would just lay heavy on their heart, Lord. And Lord, that they wouldn't listen to my words, but Lord, they listen to your words as we read your Scripture. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your precious Son, what he means to me. Lord, I love you, and I ask you in this precious and holy name, and amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight about addictions. We all have them.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Sure.
And if you say you don't, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you're lying to me. It ain't good to lie to the preacher. But we all have addictions, and I come across this verse in Romans, chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace."
Yeah.
I'm going to break this down in two separate parts. I want to talk to you about the carnal-minded. And that carnal is just worldly. Are you worldly minded? And as I began to search and look at some things, I came across a lot of information. I tried to get it all down, but it seems like sometimes when you write it down, then you go back over and you read it again, you add to it, then you read it again, then you add to it again. So I just hope that the Lord keeps me in tune today. But we need to be careful about being worldly minded because it will consume you and it will engulf you in everything that you do. It'll mess with your thoughts. And I come across this. It says, "Who in their right mind would want to volunteer to become a slave?" Are you a slave to your addiction? And chained to the life of bondage? Are you bound by this addiction? And I know all of you went straight to alcohol, drugs, all these things, but just bear with me. I'm going to let you know some more. But yet, that's just what addictions is. It's self-imposed slavery.
Yeah.
We choose to do that. It's not an addiction. We choose to do it. We use it as a crutch so that we can continue to indulge ourselves or whatever it is. But it is an imposed slavery. Selling oneself into bondage to a habit or a substance. While we typically think of addictions as a problem related to drugs or alcohol, there are other addictions that can also be destructive. We may become addicted to work, addicted to gambling, addicted to pornography. We all have our addictions, each and every one of us, whether they're minor or whether they're dangerous and major. It's almost like we use it for a dependency. We have to have it. But one thing we're all dangerously addicted is to sin.
Yeah.
We're all addicted to sin.
Yeah.
You can't deny it. But when it comes to rejecting God's way of living and doing what seems best to us, well, we're hooked.
Yeah.
You're hooked for life. So we need to be careful with that. 2 Peter 2:19. Can addictions involve more than just substance abuse? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've done read it to you. It's there. And you know the devil gets his part in there as well, because what he does is he lies to you. You know, just as he tempted Jesus in the wilderness and on the mount, he said, as far as you can see, I'll give it all to you if you just bow down and worship me. But Christ rebuked him. Satan has nothing.
Right.
He owns nothing.
Right.
He has nothing.
Amen.
All he has is himself. And he's proud of that.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's a liar.
Yes,
he's the author of lying. 2 Peter 2:19 says, while they promised them liberty. Now, this is pretty much the world. The world promises you freedom. They themselves are the servants of corruption, from whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought into bondage. The key to the addiction is control. How do you control your addictions? The question is, what controls you? Does it control you, or do you control it?
Yeah.
Whenever you have a master, you're a slave. Mm-hmm. An addiction is relinquishing ourselves to the control of something or someone else. Are you letting the devil control you and inspire you to do things that are unnecessary? Or do you serve God? And you come to church and you serve Him and you do what He asks you to do? We have to be careful with that, because you'll love one or hate the other.
Right.
So which one do you love the most? Do you love the devil, or do you love Christ who died for you?
Yeah.
You know, with the work situations, and I know we all work, we have to eat, we have to provide for our families, and you know, it's a necessity. But we have to be careful, because we need to make sure that we don't put that first.
Right.
You know, we have to put our families and we got to put God first.
Right.
If we don't put Him first, then it's not going to fare well for you.
Right.
But we do have to work, and we have to be cautious on how you tithe, how you purchase things. How many of you, when you go to purchase something, you pray before you go buy it? I think you should pray for everything. If you go to the grocery store, you should say, Lord, help me make the right selections. Help me get the right things. Help me get the provisions that I need. There's a lot of things that, and I'm guilty of this, that you go out and you work all the time and you save up and you see something, you're like, that's mine. I'm going to go get it. Do you need it? Probably not. Do you want it? Absolutely.
Yes.
I would go tomorrow and spend $95,000 on a brand new 21-foot Ranger boat in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I wouldn't blink an eye. I'd sign that dotted line and I'd go, woohoo, I'm going to the lake. That's what I would do. But you know what? God's not given me the provisions to do that. Because He knows my heart. Because what will happen is, I'll get that brand new 21-foot ring with sonar, live imaging. Man, these fish won't have a chance. I mean, I got lips come off them things. Preacher, you know where I'd be on Sunday morning? On a lake. You know, I tried that once before. And He called me out of it. I used to be a member of the Summersville Bassmasters. I was. Fished with them for 2 years. Went to tournaments. Had a good time. Really enjoyed it. But a lot of the tournaments in certain times of the year came on Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
They came on Sunday. I'm like, man, why do they have to do that on Sunday? Why don't they do it on Saturday? This was in the fall. Because everybody wants to turkey hunt. Or they want to go deer hunting. They don't want to do it on Saturday. They want to do it on Sunday. Lord laid it on my heart. Had to hang a fishing pole up.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't give up fishing. But I did give up fishing competitively.
Yep.
And on Sunday. Because I know those pleasures took me away from God.
Sure.
And you have to be cautious with that. You have to be aware of that. Because if you're not, it will consume you. It will engulf you. It will take your time. And believe me, you can call home and ask my wife. You can look in my garage and you know that I like to fish. Because she says I need to get rid of a lot of fishing poles. I've got tackle boxes. I've got cabinets full of stuff. And she's like, why don't you get rid of that? I was like, I'll get rid of you first. I'm just kidding. I hope she ain't watching. But no. But we gotta be cautious with that. Proverbs 21:17 says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich.
Yeah.
We got to be careful with the pleasures and the luxurious lifestyles and the wealth that we can be addicted to.
Yes, sir.
You got to be cautious. We have to spend time. Mark 6:31 says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. You know how many times that, I could probably use better words, but you blow in, you blow out. You come in, you sit down. And I'm going to be bold like Preacher Mark. You bring your kids to Sunday school, then you load up and you head out.
Yeah.
You got to be cautious. You need to take time and feed your family. You got to take time and teach them. Because you're leading them.
Amen.
They're not leading you. At least I hope they ain't leading you. Work can be addictive. Make sure you find time to rest and refresh your body and spirit. That's why we come on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Twice a day. Wednesday. I know a lot of you guys and some of you ladies may work on Wednesdays and you can't make it. I'm guilty. There's a lot of times I can't make it. There is sometimes I can make it. But you ought to be here every chance you get.
Yes, amen.
Now those were all the bad things. Now I want to tell you about the good things. Those addictions that you're faced with every day. They keep you up at night. They'll burden you to where you won't want to get up for work. They will burden you in your relationships. They will cause you issues in your marriages. They could cause you trouble with your children. There's so many addictions that we try to find remedies for. You know, some go, you might have a drug addiction and you go to a doctor and you get more pills to help you get out of a drug addiction or some sort. But I wrote this down, it says God's control is the only kind of control that produces completely positive results. You want results? He'll give you results. You know, before I got saved, I wasn't a drunk. Did I indulge in that? Yes, I did. And I'll tell you, 4 days before I got saved, I sat in a Mexican restaurant drinking margaritas. So yes, I did drink. Am I proud of it? No, I'm not. God had a plan. I didn't know it. But that Sunday morning I knew it. I got a positive result out of it. And the reason I got a positive result out of it, I wasn't addicted to alcohol. I wasn't addicted to drugs. And I'm not bashing you, but I used tobacco. And my wife used to always tell me, she said, "Won't you quit that?" I don't want to. I like it. I enjoyed it. To me, it wasn't nothing better than being down on the river or out on the boat. Stick one in and boy, couldn't got any happier than that.
That's right. Come on.
27 years I was a user of that. But you know, the day I walked to the altar, God knew my heart. He knew that I needed to get away from all that. And He changed my heart. And He changed my mind. And He changed my addiction.
Yes, amen.
So how do we break the chains of our addictions? Ironically, I'm glad you asked. It's by submitting to the control of God.
Amen. That's good.
And His Holy Spirit. If I wouldn't have committed myself that day to the Holy Spirit as He burdened me, as I sat back there on about the, but we only had about 13 or 14 pews and I was sitting on the farthest one I could go. If I wasn't sitting back there holding on to the front of it because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, and I let Him have control by submitting. But see, we're still controlled. But His control is always our benefit and our health. Not our destruction. See, you stay with the worldly addictions, you're going to face destruction. And torment. And agony and pain. God's transforming power is the only thing that can ultimately heal us from all, not just one or two, but all addictions. What's the best way to free from my addictions and bad habits? I'm glad you asked. It's through Christ.
Amen.
It's that simple. It ain't some long 13, 14 lettered word. It's Christ alone.
Amen.
But see, if you believe Christ, if you're here tonight and you believe Christ that He saved you from all this, Colossians 1 verse 22 says, "In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." See, all those addictions is gone. You are clean. You are holy, unblemished. Well, we're all blemished, but by the blood, we are washed clean.
Amen.
But listen to this in 1 Corinthians 6:11. He says, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were washed. I'm glad He washed me from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. He says, such as you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got so much, I just don't know where to start. You can be addicted to your own sinful nature as well. And you know that's the battle of everything. That's your number one battle, is yourself. Which can dominate, and this is why it's such a battle, is because it can dominate your thoughts and your actions. I don't know about your thoughts. I know what my thoughts are. You don't want to know my thoughts, as the preacher says. You know, you don't want to know what's up here.
Right. Right.
Because it can cause you a lot of issues.
Well, that's a fact. That is a fact.
Romans 8, 5 and 7 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind is enmity. I hope I said that right. Against God, that means you're mad or you're hostile. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, it's getting better. You got these addictions. I mentioned a minute ago that you want to go to the doctor. You want to get fixed. I know there's issues that even the church here alone is having, cancer and tests and all these things. And God can heal them. God can heal it. I believe it. I believe it with my whole heart. I've seen His work. I've seen loved ones laying on a gurney. And I ask, say, I want to see the preacher. I was like, well, he's not here. And I'm telling you this tonight because it's my own mother. She was lost. She caught a disease called necrotizing fasciitis. It was all through her body. And I was in Point Pleasant working. And they said they health netted my mom to the hospital. And I knew my mom was lost. And the preacher had mentioned this morning, you know, when you get to a point to where, you know, you're getting tubes down your throat, it's going to be tough if you're not, you know, be able to respond. But I got there about 5 minutes before they wheeled her back. And they held her there so I could see her. And they said, you know, time is necessary. We got to get her in there. And long story short, when I walked up to her, I said, Mom, you're going to be okay. She said, I need to talk to the preacher, which was my preacher at that time. I said, he's unavailable. I said, why, Mom? I said, do you want to get saved? And she said, yes. I said, and I just basically looked at her just like I'm going to look at you right now. And if you're here right now and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, all I asked her is, I said, Mom, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? She said, yes. I said, do you believe that He died for your sins? And she said, yes. I said, do you believe that He was resurrected on the third day? She said, yes. I said, do you believe that He can save you from all your sins? She said, yes. I said, then He says, if you confess that with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, He'll save you. And she said, I believe it. I said, hallelujah, preacher. Hallelujah. She spent the next 16 hours in surgery to remove all that. Doctor came out and said, we'll know within the next 12 hours if we got it all. And if she makes it past that, she may have a full recovery. I'm in the waiting room. I didn't believe him. I said, my God ain't going to do that. My God's going to heal her. And I was a young Christian. Hadn't been in it very long. 12 hours later, well, before I get there, I was in the waiting room and I prayed. As soon as the doctor got out of my sight, he turned and left, I kneeled and prayed. Right there in the waiting room. 12 hours later, they come to me and said, hey, your mom is doing well. She is, she's in ICU right now. She's not yet responsive, but all of her critical stuff is doing well. I said, okay. I said, I can believe that. And there was a couple right beside of us said, would you pray for my son? Because she heard the doctors talking.
Yeah.
He'd had a bad four-wheeler wreck and had a bad head injury. I said, I can pray. I can pray all day long. But you're going to have to kneel down and pray with me. And they kneeled down and prayed. And 2 days later, I seen him down in the lobby drinking coffee. And I said, how's your son? He said, he's awake. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But see, it's stuff like that that builds your faith. It's stuff like that that will get you past these addictions.
Right.
It's things like that that will build you and mold you into what God wants you to be. I'm almost done. Rick told me to throw my watch away and not look at it, but Rick, there's one right there on the wall. I hadn't looked, not one time, and I looked up and seen the clock. Romans 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Your submission is your choice.
Yeah.
Solely, totally on you. I can't make that decision for you tonight. We daily stand at the crossroads, choosing sinful ways or God's ways. I want to encourage you to choose wisely tonight.
Yes, sir.
Because you don't know what tomorrow may hold.
That is right.
How bad do you want to beat your addictions? Romans 12:2. This is going to help you, I hope. How bad do you want to get by all this and say, you know what, I'm done with it. I've had my fill. I'm up to here with it. I want to change. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes, amen.
See, it comes down to a choice.
Yeah.
You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have this ability. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you have this ability. You have the ability that when Satan comes up behind you, you can say, "Satan, get thee behind me." You have no power over me. None.
That is right.
1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You have to believe that. You can't half-heartedly believe it. You have to fully believe it. You have to fully commit. He fully committed His life to you. He died on a cross. I like what the song that they sang. The one part in there says, "We are healed by His stripes." If he would have done half-heartedly, it wouldn't do no good for us to be here today. But he didn't. He went all in.
Yes,
yes,
he went all in. Are you all in? Or are you 1 foot in and 1 foot out? Hey, you can't split the fence. You're either on one side or the other. Which side you on? You on His side or you on God's side? I'm going to finish with this. It says, freedom from addiction comes as you change your focus and the way you think. You do this by trusting Christ to transform you and empower you to resist temptation.
Yes, sir.
While it is healthy and important to seek the help of others, with God's help, you have the ultimate power to overcome addiction. It's hard to focus on Christ when your eyes are fixed on this world. It is hard to focus on worldliness when your eyes are fixed on Christ. What are you looking at today? What are you putting in your life? What do you have that is so important that it takes you away from your church? It takes you away from your family? The preacher doesn't see what you do through the week. I don't see what you do through the week. I don't know how you act. Do you come here on Sunday with your Sunday clothes on, and when you leave Sunday morning you go out and put your worldly clothes on? There's a lot of that. There's a whole lot of that. Who do you serve? If you're here tonight and you serve Satan, there's no easy way to say this, but you're hell bound. There's no way around it. You may not like what I just said, but it's the truth. Are you heaven bound? Because you know Christ is your personal Savior. I hope that you know Christ as your personal Savior. If you do not, we're going to have a song here. And I want to give you the opportunity to come forth and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, it doesn't matter what your friends think. Doesn't matter what your mom thinks. Doesn't matter what your dad thinks. Doesn't matter what your grandma, your grandpa. You're not going to get in by their shirt tails. You're only going to get there through the blood of Christ. And as we get ready to sing, I want you to really Really think about it. What's more important to you? Having a good time? Hooping and hollering? You know, it's all fun and games now, but when it comes to that point, you're going to have an opportunity. And your opportunity's now. It's not tomorrow. It wasn't yesterday. It's now. Now is your only opportunity. You may not have another opportunity to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. As is right now. This is your opportunity. We don't know what might be out on the highway this evening. We don't know what's going to happen. But you can make what happened. What needs to happen now is you need to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. I can't bake it. I'm not going to bake it. That's between you and the Lord. That fight's between you and Him. But I want to tell you, you're going to find yourself in a place, in a deep, dark hole. Nowhere to go, not knowing what to do. But Christ will be there. All you have to do is surrender. Surrender to Him. Thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you pour out on us, Lord. We thank you for the young ones that were up here singing. And Lord, we just, what a blessing. Father, we just ask that you be with us, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Keep us safe as we travel home tonight. And Lord, I'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that those that we try to reach out to in our families, Lord, I thought my dad was going to be here tonight. But he didn't show up. But Lord, you know where he's at.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that you weigh heavy on his heart.
Yeah.
Help him. Give him an opportunity, Lord. He's consumed by the world. And he needs you as a Savior.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray tonight. Anybody that was here, Lord, I pray. Burden their hearts. Help them, Lord. Only you can. Lord, we can't find it at some psychiatrist or some doctor's office. Lord, you're the great healer. And we need you to heal our country. We need to heal our families, our brothers and our sisters. And Lord, we love you tonight and we thank you. I ask for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.